Morning, everyone. I've got a lot of props today, it seems like, so there'll be a bit of moving about. And I won't be long. I won't be my normal 40 minutes. I'll be a bit shorter today. Who wants to play a game? I got one hand up. Thank you, Mike. Excellent. At no expense spent, hiding box. All we're going to do, I'm going to put some things in the box. You just need to put your hand in without looking, right? And none of the pretend scrunchy eye thing you do. And tell me what's in the box, okay? So, Mike, do you want to go first? he was having a stretch at the wrong time. So it's like, kind of, it's like an auction, isn't it? Don't put your hand up at the wrong time. I've not put anything in yet, Mike. Right, look. Right. On you go. It's not really a spectator sport, is it? It's a cross. Yes. A cross to remember. Well done, yes. Give him a clap. Begrudging crap, that was. It's like, you know, be more excited for the next person. So a cross to remember. Good Friday. A cross to remember what Christ did. Right. Are you coming up, Marion? Or are you just stretching? Right. Eyes up. Are you coming up, Marion? Do you want to come up with Romana? No, you're doing it. Can you reach? Do you want me to lift you up? Oh, hold on a second. Let's be clever about this. Don't look. Pop your hand in. What do you think is inside? Put that hand in. Cross. It's not a cross. Do you want to pop your hand in and have a little feel? It's a stone, amazing. It's a stone. That's a gift, that is. That's a gift. It's a stone to remember. I know it's not the same shape as the one that rolled across the tomb, but it's a stone to remember that. Right, who's next? Anthony, sorry. You can go fourth. There are four, I promise. Anthony, you coming up. You're tall enough. Right, that's it. Stick your hand in. What's in the box? Okay. It's empty. Yeah. So, good man. It's empty, yes, because the tomb is empty. Right, one more. Right, Isaac. Hey, big man. So you come, you turn and face the nice smiley faces. Right. It's jelly. It's jelly. Yay. It's jelly. Do you want to wipe for your hands? You're not allergic to wipes, are you? You're going to lick them clean. He's happy. Well, no one else is having that jelly now. Well done. Well, I'll get you a spoon after the service. You can have the rest. So this morning we're going to learn a little bit about a man called Thomas. We're going to learn a lot about Jesus. We're going to learn a bit about a man called Thomas. And Thomas wanted to put his hand in something. And it wasn't a box. And he wasn't going to find jelly when he put his hand in there. So we're going to learn to kind of gather. And we're going to find out what Thomas wanted to put his hand into. So I'm going to read to you. If you have a Bible, we're going to read from the book of John. If you don't even want one, there's some at the back. You've maybe got one in your phone. But we're going to read from the book of John. John chapter 20, and just a few verses from verse 24 for you. I've also got, for the children and the adults if you want to, some little worksheets. So it's got like a bit of colouring. There's a little craft where you can draw some faces. There's also Bri's Bible Bingo on the front. So one of these words I won't say during my talk. So if you want to come and grab one, children, if you want to listen to me, there's some there and there's some over there with pens. You tell me at the end of the service what word I've not said and you'll get a prize. Although generally you get a treat anyway, so... Adults, if it helps you concentrate, you can do it too. I don't mind. So we're going to read from the book of John as the children mill about in front of me. It's great, isn't it? John from verse 24, John chapter 20. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, was one of the 12. He was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus freaked his disciples out that first Easter Sunday. In the Gospel of John, a bit before the passage we read, it says this: "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" The evening in question is the first Easter evening. It's not been that long since Jesus was killed. It's not been that long since the disciples' hopes and dreams were crushed as they saw Jesus die. It's not been that long since Mary went weeping to the tomb and left confused because the tomb was empty. The disciples are still fearful. What next? Then suddenly Jesus appears to them through locked doors. I'd be a bit freaked out too if that happened to me. But how do they act? Well, they're overjoyed. Jesus is alive. Jesus has triumphed over death, just as he said he would. Jesus has fulfilled this part of the mission, just as he said he would. Jesus has conquered sin, just as he said he would. But there was a guy that wasn't there that first evening. His name is Thomas. But the disciples met him later. You can imagine the disciples being a bit like this balloon when they saw Thomas. Give us a second. They're full of life. They're full of joy. "We've seen Jesus," they say. Do you ever feel like that when you've got something exciting to say and you fill up? You're like, "I've seen Jesus. He is alive." And then Thomas says to them, "Well, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were, unless I put my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe." And the disciples would have just gone. They would have been crushed, possibly. And Thomas gets a bad press at times. He's sometimes called Doubting Thomas. But you can't really blame him for his reaction. On Monday, I was listening to the radio, and we heard the news report there was a major fire in Notre Dame in Paris. Julie came in, and I said, "There's a major fire in Notre Dame in Paris. I've heard it on the radio." And we both thought the same thing. Let's go and see it for ourselves. So we went to the TV to switch on to see the fire before we'd believe it was actually happening. So we're a lot like Thomas. We hear something incredible, perhaps even we hear it from people we love and we trust, and we still say, "I'm not so sure. You need to show me." Remember, too, the people that tell Thomas the truth. Remember the people, the disciples that Thomas has spent the last 3 years with. There's Peter. There's a man who said, "I'm never going to leave you, Jesus." Then at the first time of trouble, he said, "I don't even know who this guy is." There's James and John, who when they found out that Jesus was going to be in a position of privilege, said, "Can we be up there with you? One on your left, one on your right." And then there's Judas. He's not here now. He's not with the disciples. He's the one that betrayed Jesus just to make some financial gain. So when this bunch of people tell Thomas that Jesus is alive, you can partly understand his reticence to believe them. But don't let the imperfections of Christ's followers detract you from the perfection of Christ. The fact that the disciples messed up doesn't lessen the truth about Jesus. He's not any different. Jesus is still risen. Jesus is still God. Jesus is still the Savior the world needs, even if his followers don't say that very well at times. Perhaps you're here this morning and you don't believe in Jesus. Maybe your story is, well, I've seen how Christians behave. I don't want to be part of that, thanks very much. But God doesn't hide the fact that his followers on earth are imperfect. They will be at times rude, inconsiderate, inconsistent, and they will say things that hurt. But they're not to be worshipped this morning. God's to be worshipped. They're not perfect, but God is perfect. God's followers can't rescue people, but God can rescue people. God's followers haven't risen from the dead, but God has risen from the dead. Perhaps your story is, I've heard a lot of this, but I'm still not sure. I need more proof. Or perhaps you're a Christian. And your story is, I've messed up, and I've seen others mess up so many times. No one will trust in Christ if they look at us. Well, you can relax this morning, because Jesus doesn't rely on you to get people to believe in him, or for people to follow him or trust him. Your mess-ups won't prevent others following Christ. And we find that out in the rest of the passage, because God's story is so much more different than our story. Thomas had said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. But when Thomas had said these words, it wasn't the first time they'd been mentioned in the Bible or even in this passage. When Jesus first spoke to the disciples, says this, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After this, he showed them his hands and his side. Before Thomas had even thought about uttering the words, God's story is that Jesus had been in action with the other disciples, showing them what he'd done. The story continues in verse 26. A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. A week later. What an agonizing wait that must have been for the disciples. Perhaps uncertainty was creeping into them again. Did we imagine it all? Is he coming back? Were we just so desperate that we would have believed anything? And then there's Thomas, getting more and more skeptical. I think they imagined it all. I don't think he's coming back. They must have been desperate. They would have believed anything. And then, though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And the beauty of this bit, look at what Jesus said to Thomas. Thomas, that had said, unless I put my finger, unless I put my hand into his side. And Jesus says to him, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Thomas's mind must have been blown. The very thing he said when he thought Jesus wasn't even alive, Jesus is standing there right in front of him, saying it back to him. His exact same words. God's story is that Jesus Christ conquered death so sin would be defeated. Jesus Christ conquered death so we'd all have the opportunity of life with God at the very center. Christ conquered death so we'd have hope. Christ conquered death so we'd know goodness and mercy will reign, whose God will reign. And Easter Sunday is the evidence of that. Easter Sunday tells us that Christ is risen. He's alive and he'll reign forevermore. And that's why we celebrate today. He's alive and he'll reign forevermore. And Jesus' invitation to Thomas to touch his hands and touch his sides extended to us too. You won't be able to physically touch Jesus the same way Thomas did. But for those who aren't sure about the whole church God thing, Thomas is a reminder that Jesus knows our doubts. He knows the things that hold us back from following him. And he wants to show us that he's real and that he's alive. If you want assurance, look at the wounds of Jesus. They're evidence of his love, of his sacrifice, his victory, and his resurrection. And then Thomas responds to Jesus. You're always going to have a response to Jesus. We don't know if Thomas put his fingers in the hands or his hand in his side. It doesn't say, but we are told what he says to Jesus. He says, "My Lord and my God." And it's more than just the sight of Jesus that made Thomas say that. It's something from within Thomas that made him shout it out to Christ. Something about the status of Jesus, not just the sight of Jesus, made Thomas say these words. Imagine you meet the Queen. Perhaps you already have. You wouldn't stand in front of her and go, "Ah, Queen, it's very nice to meet you." Well, you may, but you'd probably be in the Tower of London for a few years after that. No, you address her properly, don't you? You might say, "Your Majesty," or "Ma'am." But you don't call her that just because she's physically there. You call her that because of who she is and what her status is. Or a bit closer to home, when you speak to your parents or you see your parents, you call them Mum and Dad. But it's not just based on their physical presence, it's based on their status too. Their position as a mum and a dad. And it's the same here with Thomas. Thomas's response to Jesus is based on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Jesus, the Lord of everything, who's conquered death. What did the angels in the tomb say? "He isn't here. He's risen, just as he said he would." Thomas is realizing now. He's realizing that Christ is risen, and his response is to declare that Jesus is God. More than that, Thomas is putting Jesus in his rightful place as the Lord in the center of his life. It's not just Thomas that's going to say that Jesus is Lord. Everyone will one day. The Bible tells us God elevated him, that's Jesus, to the highest honor, the place of highest honor, and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't know where all of you are at this morning with your faith. Perhaps, like the disciples who met Jesus on the first evening, you feel full of faith and full of joy. Or perhaps you're like Thomas, a bit uncertain, a bit skeptical, looking for evidence, needing proof. For the evidence is there. In the scars on Jesus' body, in the empty tomb, in the Word of God that's been written for us that we read from. The evidence is in our own experiences. It's in the experiences of friend and family. And as we witness, as we'll see, and as we witness the baptism later, the evidence of Christ is in the actions and the responses of God's people to him. So the Jesus that met with Thomas is the same Jesus that wants to meet with you. He's saying, "Look at my hands, look at my side, look what I did." But more than that, he's saying, "Look at me standing here before you now. Who else is going to do that? I'm not dead. I'm alive. Come to me, Jesus says. Come and be part of my story. Shall we pray? Well, Lord Jesus, we come before you with humble adoration. That you're alive, that you're risen. You've conquered death. You've conquered sin. You give life and hope just as you said you would. Wherever we're at this morning, Lord Jesus, whether we know you, whether we're not sure, or whether we're full of life and faith, we thank you that we can come to you. You don't reject, but you stand there and you say, come to me, my child. I've done everything for you. Come and follow me. And we thank you for that truth and for that hope and for that celebration we can have this morning. We ask that you be with us for the rest of the service, Lord. Through our thoughts and our songs, help us glorify you with everything we do and say. In your amazing, mighty name we pray. Amen.